From the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Australia, this is the Awake Nations Ministries podcast, equipping the church for revival, reformation, and kingdom impact. Learn more about us by visiting awakeaus.com.
Mark 3, starting at verse 13 through 15. And he went up to the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out demons. All right. God has a plan for your life. Do you know that? And the reality is that God does have a plan. And he also has so many promises for our life, doesn't he? Yes. How many believe that? Amen. Right? But guess what? God also has a pathway, a clear pathway. Yes. And it's a patient pathway, a specific, ordered, intentional pathway by which he moves you from where you are to where he wants you to be. It's a journey. And the title of this message this morning is simply that, the journey. Let's talk about the journey. There is a calling. There is a journey that God wants us to go on. And so the plan is where you are going. The pathway is how you get there. Yeah. How many love that? Yeah, the plan, right? Yeah. Okay, I love the plan. I love the promise. Amazing. But there's a pathway. There's a way to get there. You don't just jump in the car if you have no idea where you're going and just say, well, I think this is the right way. You either look at a map or you use your GPS 99% of the time and you go, that's where we're headed, that's where we're going. So there's a destination, there's a route that you have to travel to get to that destination. And that is part of the journey. And often as believers, as disciples of Jesus, we can be like little kids at times. We get in the car and you just start the journey. 20 minutes later, are we there yet? Have we arrived? I need to go to the toilet. Can we stop at Macca's? Whatever it may be. And God wants us to realize that the journey isn't as easy as what we probably thought it would be when we signed up to be a believer. Is that fair? Yes. Fair to say that, right? But can I also tell us that the journey is often not realized or not traveled on in the sense that we don't make it to our destination because we fail to go on the journey, or we start off on the journey, but somewhere along the way we pause, we stop. And the journey has to be followed to the end. Jesus said multiple times, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. He who endures, right? It's like the rabbit and the tortoise. It's not how quickly we leave, we run, we're out of the blocks, but it's do we persevere? Do we continue on the journey? Even when it's difficult, we have to be patient. So the prophets have been telling us about this journey for thousands of years. One of the verses that I love is Isaiah 35, verse 8. It says, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. That's the Hebrew term, derek, which means the pathway of holiness. And there, and it shall belong to those who walk on the way. Notice this. There is a highway of holiness. I think somebody made a song, Highway to Hell. There's a highway to holiness. And the highway to holiness is specifically designated and promised to those who walk on the way. Hello? Those who walk on the way. Remember that other verse in Isaiah? You will hear a voice behind you, whether you turn to the left or to the right, saying, this is the pathway, the derek. Walk on it. Walk on it. Make sure that you walk, that you travel down this pathway. So Isaiah saw this. The early church actually called themselves people of the way, people of the pathway before they were known as Christians, people of the journey before they were known as Christians. And so the pathway he's taking us on, please know that he's actually traveling with us. In fact, remember the word, the promise of Jesus in John chapter 16. He said, hey, I'm not going to leave you guys as orphans, but when I leave, he said, I'll send another comforter. And the Greek actually says another comforter just like me. Two different words for another. And there was one that is like, yeah, similar, and one that's like identical. And he says, one just like me. And we get the word, or we use the word paraclete, parakletos. And that term, paraclete, actually was used of a general in the military who would actually go into battle with the troops. And he would often be in the front lines, and he would be leading them into battle. So when he says, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit, another comforter just like me, he's speaking of someone who would take us and go with us on the journey. God's not saying, yeah, it's somewhere that way. Take a left, turn a right, and then you're confused. Which way do I go? Which way? No, he actually says, let me show you the way. Have you ever experienced that? You go into a department store or something, and you're just like, where do I find this? Maybe in a supermarket. Oh, you go here and this. And then someone says, let me just show you. And they actually escort you and take you to what it is that you're looking for. And that's the truth of who God is. He's with us on the journey. And he is not in a hurry. He's very patient with his sons and daughters. And he is committed to seeing you finish your journey, complete your course. He who has begun a good work in you will what? Be faithful to bring it to completion, to carry it to completion. So, this is a powerful truth that God wants us to understand. And there's three verses here we've just read in Mark chapter 3. And it actually, watch this, watch what Jesus does, how he moves. Because what he did on that mountain 2,000 years ago is significant and relevant to us today. I'm going to share some things today that you maybe have never even thought about as a Christian. But I'm going to show you how Jesus actually discipled and called his followers. Because this is a process, this is a journey. But it requires a response. It requires cooperation. So let's look at the fact that Jesus actually calls 12 to be with him, right? And he goes to the mountain, he calls to them those whom he desired, and they came to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority, heal sickness, cast out demons, etc. So here's the reality. Jesus ascends to the mountain, and he goes up on the mountain. And while he's up there, Luke's account says in chapter 6, he spent the entire night in prayer. And then he, after the night in prayer, he says, yes, these 12 are the ones that I am to appoint as apostles. And I want you to understand a little bit about this journey, because scholars say that this actually transpired anywhere from 10 months to 18 months into the journey. We're not really sure. It's more than likely probably right around the one-year mark. But 10 months to 18 months after they had been following Jesus. And initially there were 5, and some would say 6, that followed Jesus. Right up until this point, that were kind of closer to Jesus. They were actually with him, but Jesus had also called others, but really there were only 6 at the most that he was really pouring into intimately. The others were following him. There were many people following Jesus at this stage. But he had a special relationship with about six of them. And now Jesus is recognizing the grace on others. He's called some of the others as well up until this point, but he does something very different here. He actually extends an invitation to them to come in closer. Come in closer. And I want you to look at this verse again. It says, his desire was simply this, that they might be with him. At this point, some of them were with him, but we're talking about a level of intimacy and personal relationship that they had not yet experienced. I want to make this very practical for us this morning. Perhaps you've been following Jesus. You love Jesus. You come to church. You do many things that God is happy with you about doing those things. But may I submit to us this morning that I believe the Father is telling us, I want you to come in closer. I'm calling you closer so that you might be with me. Yeah, eventually I'll send you out to preach, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. But I invite you to be with me. I'm calling you closer. I want you to be with me. So he calls the ones he wanted, the ones he had been praying about all night. And he appoints 12 is what it says. He appoints them. Now, it's very interesting. The word that's translated appoint here actually means to make or to create. In the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's the same word that is actually used in Genesis 1 when it says that God created the heavens and the earth. So he is not just randomly appointing, he's creating, he's making 12. This is a reality of what he's saying. I've called you into something unique. I've called you into something where I'm setting you apart to do something very significant, very different. So he calls them, he appoints them, but he makes them. Then he names them. He calls them apostolos, apostles, sent ones. The title that defines their commissioning. Now, sometimes we look at this and we think, what does that mean? Is that about identity? He names them. Notice that. Yes, the word actually has the idea of identity. And I want you to understand, please, that identity actually ties into not only who you are in Christ as a son, but also to what it is that he's called you to do on the planet. Did you hear that? So you'll never fully realize your identity or live it out until you begin to function in what it is that he has called you to be and do. We don't like titles in Australia, right? Those guys that call themselves apostles, who do they think they are? I find it funny that we call pastors, but we have a problem with other titles. I think it's a double standard. Just saying. Either no titles or go in with all of them. Is that right? Hot or cold? So the fact is, there is a place in the scripture. He named them apostles, gave them a title. Heaven, you know, when the word of God is right and we're wrong, we need to repent. Don't try to change the word of God to line up with your beliefs, your understanding, your theology, right? Change your theology to align with the word of God. Paul introduces himself as an apostle. He does say he's a servant, but he also refers to himself as an apostle, a sent one, someone who's called by Jesus for an express purpose and mission. And the purpose is that they might be with him, to be near him. This is so brilliant. Be with me. Like, guys, this is an invitation to come close, to be familiar with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, we show up in the synagogue when you're there. We love to hear you preach on the hills of Galilee. But he's saying, there's some that I'm inviting in to know me, to walk with me, to experience me. And it's a journey. Eventually, I'm going to send you out. So these are not random acts. There's really one call here. One call. But the call has two purposes. In the Greek, it's very clear. Two purposes are this, that they would be with him and that he might send them out. It's not like, well, they just be with him. No, the actual commandment that he might send them out is just as strong as to be with me in the original language. So the calling, guys, is this. He wants us to be with him. That's first. Everything between be with him and sent out is the journey. Everything between be with him and sent out encompasses the journey. But the calling, one calling that has two expressions or purposes, to be with him and to be sent out. It's amazing that we have the different extremes in the church. We have those that just want to soak. Let's pray 24/7. We'll never preach the gospel. We'll never do anything, but we'll soak and we'll pray for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and virtually we don't do anything to reach people with the gospel. And then we have others who are all about, let's go reach people, let's do missions, let's do evangelism, let's win souls, but they don't have a prayer life. They don't know what it means to encounter Jesus and to have it, to dwell in the secret place, in the shadow of the Almighty. But he's actually called us to both, that we would be with him and that he can send us out. And in that journey, he calls, he appoints, or he makes us, and then he names us. What does that mean? It means very clearly that God says, I want you to know me. I want you to experience me for who I am. I want you to have sweet communion and fellowship with me, to know me intimately, and from that place, I'll change your life. I'll transform you. I'll give you a new identity. I'll call you, and I'll form you, and I'll do amazing things because I have a purpose. I have a destiny for your life. When the Bible says people perish for lack of vision, what it's actually saying in Hebrew is that people live recklessly. They live aimlessly if there's no prophetic purpose. If you're not clear of your purpose, of your calling, of what it is that God wants for you, if you don't understand and have that vision, that revelation of who Jesus is and what it is that he wants for you, you'll live aimlessly. That word, without a vision, people perish. You'll see some translations say cast off restraint. It's the same word when the children of Israel danced around the golden calf and removed their clothing. Figuratively, it means to cast off restraint. Literally, it means to strip naked. Same word. So they cast off restraint. We have no purpose. We have no sense of direction or destiny in life if we don't have revelation, if we don't behold him, if we don't know him, if we don't see him. But everything changes when we're with him. There's no mission without revelation, without an encounter. And see, we love you so much. I hope you guys know that. We want you to fulfill your mission, your purpose in life. What's your destiny? What's your calling? We want you to know who you are. We want you to know him. But the reality is, in order for that to be materialized in your life, you need to go on the journey. He was inviting them, hey guys, let's go on this journey together. Yes. You hear his voice speaking, come closer, yes. Come closer, walk with me, behold me, see me, spend time with me, let's go on the journey. I'll transform your life. I'll give you a new identity. I'll give you purpose. There are those who will not and who do not take the journey. Some who come to church for years and they never go on the journey. They come, they consume, they leave. Rinse and repeat. Come, consume, leave, return, rinse and repeat. The same thing, not changing, not being transformed, not becoming like Jesus, not knowing who he is. In Jesus' day, there was a group that fell into this. I'm reading John chapter 6, verse 66. Yes, John 6, 6, 6. Creepy, isn't it? Do you know what happens in John 6, 6, 6? There's a great falling away. The word in Greek is apostasia. There's this falling away that takes place because Jesus is speaking to them about drinking his blood and eating his flesh. And they're getting super bent out of shape and offended. And it says in verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. They stopped the journey. Wow. And Jesus said, hey guys, I didn't really mean that. I know that was a little bit strong today and that preaching might have offended you a bit, but honestly, we still love you. You're still welcome. Please, please don't be offended. Come back to church. Is that what Jesus did? Jesus actually did not chase after them. He didn't soften his message. He turns to the 12, verse 67, and says, do you want to go away as well? Wow. Jesus is so pastoral, isn't he? No, he's pastoral. He's a good shepherd. When the sheep won't go on the journey, there's not much you can do. People won't go on the journey. What causes us to stop going on the journey? Offense. We get offended over something, right? Yeah, we get offended. Well, but in reality, Peter, he says, look, Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In other words, where are we going to go? Where are we going to turn? Only you have the words of eternal life. Great answer, Peter. Correct answer, the right answer. And he specifically calls them to a place where he says, hey, will you go on the journey? And Peter says, yep, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to keep following you. No matter what it looks like in the natural, I'm going to keep following you. No matter how things go, I'm going to keep following you. What we do today in so many places is we actually show up to church and we consume. We're consumers. That message, wasn't that great. Preaching was quite average. The worship, could have been better. And we begin to critique our church gatherings. Because why? Because we don't come as disciples. We come as consumers. We've come for our fix. 99% of the time, that means, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? And if we don't like what's happening, if we feel challenged, if the word is calling us in more closely to Jesus, then let's go somewhere else, just like the many that would no longer walk with him. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? This is a difficult saying. But I want you to understand, when Jesus called his 12 disciples and they responded to him, it literally says that they encountered him. This was all about encountering him. I want to walk through the journey very quickly. Three things: encounter, formation, and mission. Encounter, formation, and mission. Every Christian has to go on this journey. You can try formation without encounter. Won't work. You've got to experience his presence. You've got to spend time in his presence. You've got to lean in and worship and go deep in the word and seek his face and keep going and keep pursuing and saying, Lord, I want to behold you. Just like the scripture in 2 Corinthians, which says that beholding him results in us becoming. I love that scripture. Beholding him results in our becoming. As we behold him, as in a mirror, we're transformed from one level to the next. Can I challenge you? Showing up is good. That's a difficult thing for many Christians today, to even show up regularly. I think the bar here has been high in the sense that we know what the scripture says. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us spur one another onto love and good works. Next verse tells us, how do we spur one another onto love and good works? Because we forsake not the assembling together of ourselves, as some do. But we keep coming together. We keep coming together. And we come together not for just the social aspects of it, or even like family, as we mentioned last week, but there's a greater purpose ultimately. We come together to encounter the King, to be transformed in his glory and presence. And he calls us on a journey. He calls us to go deeper. And there's so many today that think that they can just walk casually with him. But I want to challenge you today. Will you stay on the journey when it becomes difficult? Will you stay on the journey when it doesn't make sense and you don't know what it's next? Will you stay on the journey when even when you actually didn't expect God to do what he did in your life? And will you follow him not just for what he can do for you, but for who he is? Will you follow him even if it's like, hey, you're serving me on your terms? And what happens is people get disillusioned and discouraged when we set up that particular belief system and expectation that God will do this, 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 and this. And if he doesn't, we get disillusioned. We get discouraged. But God is calling us to go deeper with him. He's calling us to encounter him, like Isaiah encountered him, like Jesus encountered him. You see, encounter takes more than coming to church on a Sunday. You have to lean in. You have to go deep. You have to have a prayer life. You have to spend time in the word. You have to hunger and thirst for righteousness and realize that going to church
doesn't transform you unless you're encountering the God of the church. He wants to change his people. He's inviting us to be with him. And if you've been showing up and leaning in, Jesus sees it. If you've been walking faithfully, he's positioning you. He wants to do something powerful in your life. He wants you to encounter him. Encounter is the doorway. It starts with encounter. Have you ever had an encounter with God? Have you ever had an encounter with God where you experience his power and his presence and you're undone? You're undone? I don't live by encounters, but I certainly want to experience them regularly in my life. I want to position myself before him in such a way that I experience his presence and power. Encounter him. Religion, even discipleship without presence, is dry. It's intellectual. It's academic. We have to have his presence. The word discipleship is meant to conform us more to the one that has called us, the one who said, come and spend time with me, that I can change you, that you'll encounter me. Oh, Jesus, we would know you. He's looking for people today who know him, who've encountered him. Secondly, formation. Notice this. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him. I want you to see this, that they might be with him. He did not call individuals. Individuals, hey, you, come and follow me. He called a group. He called a collective to come and follow him. And he didn't just say, hey, I'll spend one, you know, every Tuesday. Peter, we're together. James, you got Thursday. No, he invites them into a family, into a community. And the purpose of this is formation. Formation. That you might know him, that you might experience him, that you might encounter him, that you might be changed. And he calls the people to himself. You see, Christianity is personal, but it's not private. You cannot be a body, like, for example, if you're a shoulder, and you're just like, you may look amazing, you may have the broadest shoulders on the planet, but all you are is a shoulder. If you're not part of a body, you're just a shoulder, that's it. And the truth is we're called not just to be a body part, but part of the body. And the formation that he calls us into requires community, requires family, requires that we stay long enough to actually be formed. Psalm 92 says this, those that are planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord. Not those who show up occasionally, they consume, and then they don't get what they're expecting on a Sunday, so they move on. Listen, we can have a bad day. There are times when someone may not measure up to your expectations. There are times when you think, where was the presence of God today? And maybe it was just you. Maybe you, for whatever reason, were going through a dry spell. But we're called to encounter him personally. We're called to encounter him privately in the sense that we have to have our own time with the Father. But we also are called into community because in community, the body ministers to itself. The body imparts as every joint supplies. But a tree that is repeatedly uprooted never develops roots. Wandering Christians, fifth church in 7 years,
never staying long enough to be known, never planted long enough to be pruned, never invested long enough to be matured. Oh, yeah, you can't say amen, say what? Ouch. Guys, I get it. Some churches are toxic. Get out. If a church is toxic, abusive, if the Spirit of God doesn't go to that church, if Jesus doesn't attend that church, don't attend it. Run. Get out of there. If it's dry and dead, there's no presence, there's no truth, get out of there. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about churches where the presence of God is there, the word is being preached, but yet we flout. We're called to be planted, grounded, established. Offense. Someone said something. Someone did not say something. Someone did not return your message. It's just a small seed, but it leads to a great forest of bitterness. Deal with it by the cross, in the power of the Spirit. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Forgive. Continue. Another thing that causes people to not be formed and do the journey is the orphan spirit. The orphan spirit. We cannot rest. We cannot trust. We cannot receive. We must always be earning, performing, striving. We don't know it is loved apart from its performance. That person doesn't realize that. And so it's the orphan spirit. Guys, can I tell you, the orphan spirit is much more rampant than what we think. The orphan spirit. Oh, let God heal you. Let him establish you. Let him bring you into his family and minister to you and heal you of that. God sees us as sons, as daughters. Huios. Huios thesia means spiritual sons and daughters. We're called to be mature sons and daughters that carry weight and represent our Father well. And then lastly, mission. Jesus sent them out in authority. Notice that. So that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So the destination of the journey, again, called to be with him, yes, but also so that we might be sent out. That's amazing. Let it rain. By the way, God wants to send a revival into your dry bones and life. He wants to awaken the sleeper. He wants us to be on our faces before him, crying out, so hungry, so thirsty for Jesus. I do not want to be part of a church where people are not hungry, where the pastor's not hungry for God. Lord, if we have to go into the wilderness for 40 days, break us. Do whatever it takes, Lord. Restore our hunger. Restore our thirst. That we would be a people that seek after you. People that pursue your presence. That allow Christ to be formed in us. And then lastly, we engage in his mission. So as I said, a year to 18 months, now he begins to use them. He sends them out. You know, there's two mission trips in the Gospels, right? The 12 are sent out and the 70 or the 72 are sent out. Do you know that each one of those mission trips was roughly 3.5 to 4 months? They went out without Jesus. Yeah. I'm sending you out. Go. Preach. Heal the sick, cast out demons. William Booth would send out his army, I'm not sure the word, but go preach until there's a move of God. Preach. And you say, is revival broken out? Are people turned to Christ? No, it's not happening. We've been preaching. There's been a little trickle, a few here and there. He said, have you tried tears? Have you tried tears? Have you tried wailing and weeping for the lost? Get alone with the Father. I have friends. A friend, Filipino guy, who is a missionary in Thailand. He went there years ago, and he's been reaching unreached people in villages. One day they went into a village. They began to evangelize. They began to preach. People would not listen. People were hardened, would not listen. They said, we can feel the resistance. We feel the opposition. People are not responding. And they went and they spent the whole night in prayer. They spent the whole night in prayer, crying out to God. They went out the next day, and a woman who had died, who was, they had heard about this woman, so they went to where she was and they began to pray for her, and the dead woman came to life. This is during COVID in Thailand. And as a result, the entire village turned to Jesus. They went to another village, and basically the shaman, the witch doctor equivalent, was opposing them. They had a word of knowledge about a sickness he had, and they called it out, and he responded, and he said, yeah, that's true, I have that. And they prayed for him, and Jesus healed him. And he got saved, and the whole village turned to Christ. Yes. Do you understand that villages getting saved is happening in places? In Acts chapter 9, it says that all, Lydda and Sharon, and they all turned to the Lord. It says that in Acts chapter 9. They all turned to the Lord. All. In Greek means all. Everyone. They all turned to the Lord. Wow. Guys, a dull axe won't cut down a tree. We need to be sharp in the spirit. The anointing is like that sharp edge breaks the yoke, smashes things open, gives us breakthrough. The anointing. But the anointing is costly. It's costly. If you want to minister and walk in the anointing, if you want to see people saved, if you want to see miracles, you know what? The vast majority of us, I'm good. We may not say that, but by our lack of response, can I say our lack of going on the journey? Come closer. Many, many disciples. Many, many followers. But he calls 12. Come closer. Come closer. Be with me. Be with me. Be with me. And he makes the 12, the word appoint, makes them. He appoints, he literally names them apostles. And then he sends them out in the power. Harvest is plentiful. The harvest is ripe. We need power. John Wimber. How many have heard of John Wimber? Go back, please. Watch some of his videos. John Wimber encountered the power of the Holy Spirit through Frisbee, Lonnie Frisbee. And Wimber actually said, you know what's going to make all the difference? Isn't he called it power evangelism. And he started to teach it at Fuller Theological Seminary in California. And power evangelism was something like this. Let's say a person, there's a scale, and the scale's zero, and the person's at negative 10. You preach, they might move to negative 8. But then power evangelism, miracles. Someone gets healed. Someone gets delivered. Plus 2. They're radically saved, and they're moved down the scale. It's like an angle scale. And
they experience this transformation and they move. Acts 8:6. And hearing and seeing the miracles, they heeded the things spoken by Philip. One accord, they heeded the things he spoke. Hearing and seeing the miracles. The early church was on a journey. And the Bible tells us in Acts 4:13, it says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled. Who are these men? They're fishermen. They're uneducated. They're untrained. In fact, they never, ever would have been chosen by a rabbi. They would have never been embraced by a rabbi. They were not the type of persons that you would invite to be a Talmid or a disciple if you're a rabbi. But Jesus did. And he said, I'll transform you. I'll change you. And those that were hungry, he invited to come closer. Know me. Let me change you. Encounter, formation, mission. Jesus has a journey for each one of us. It's not about positions. It's not about platforms. It's not about titles. It's about what the journey actually affects in our lives. What does the journey do in our lives? They marveled. They were uneducated. And what's it say? They knew that they had been with Jesus. Come on, let's stand. Let's stand in his presence this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's a way. Bible says that God has called his people to walk. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 1, walk worthy of the calling that you've received. Walk worthy. Come on. Let's just worship Jesus. Are you hungry for him? Do you want more of him?
Yes.
Come on, guys. Come on. You know, the Bible says in Judges that after Joshua died and his contemporaries, his peers, another generation rose up. And this was a generation that had not seen the mighty works of God. And the Bible says that they actually turned astray and they went into idolatry because they hadn't seen, they hadn't encountered. They heard the stories. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying this morning? They heard the stories from Joshua and others. We saw the plagues, the Red Sea, crossing the River Jordan. But they had not experienced it themselves. And maybe you're here this morning and that's you. You've been a good person. You've been following Jesus. You read your Bible. You do certain things. I want to challenge you. I want to call you. I want to convict you today to respond to the call. Encounter him. Be with him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll go to the mountain with you. Yes, Jesus. I'll come to the top of the mountain with you. I'll encounter you. I'll seek you, Jesus. Lord, change my life. Put your fire in me. Ignite me with passion, Lord. Give me a passion, Lord, to pray that I want to cry out day and night. I can't get enough of your presence. I can't get enough time alone with you, God. I can't get enough time worshiping you. That if we get to the place, church, where our worship is actually, people are so hungry and so leaning in and so engaging in worship that we continue, that we just keep going. We just keep going. We can hear and we see that we don't have spectators, but we have people that are worshiping the Almighty, worshiping the true and living God, worshiping the one who is worthy in the beauty of his holiness. Let him put a fire in your heart again. If you've lost your passion, if you've lost your fire, if you haven't encountered him in a long time, I want to invite you today, go on the journey. Go on the journey. Lord, take me, lead me, restore me, ignite me again, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, have your way. Father, we pray for your power. We pray for your presence. We pray for your glory. Lord, we're not here just to have a church service on Sunday. Lord, we're not here just to be an amazing group of people. Lord God, if that's possible, nothing is apart from your blood or your grace. But we're here, Jesus, to encounter you. We're here to see your spirit poured out. We're here to see salvation, miracles, Lord, revival and restoration, Lord.